Welcome to the Wanting It More podcast. I am your host, Jana Dentonhouse, and it's an absolute delight to have you here. I'm a marriage and intimacy educator, as well as a creator of the Wanting It More program, which has helped thousands of women who are married to men want and enjoy it more in the bedroom. You know, having low desire was something that I personally struggled with for years in my marriage, so I absolutely get it all. You are not alone. Just a heads up, I use all the words in this podcast, so if you've got little ears around or you're in a public setting, you may want to pop in some earbuds. I hope you enjoy the episode. Welcome back to the Wanting It More podcast. Today, Kyle is joining us. Kyle just completed Wanting It More with his wife. But when I say just completed, you know, depends on when you're listening to this episode. But the cool thing is Kyle's willing to come on and talk about his experience. Specifically today, we're going to be talking to themes that other men might really relate to. So I'm excited about this conversation. Kyle, before we get started, do you want to share a little bit about yourself?
Absolutely. My name's Kyle. I live in Maryland, which is in the U.S. I've broadened my horizons with this program. I've spoken to people all over the world, and I'm just a country guy. So for me, that was cool. But I have two children, a beautiful wife who I went through this course with. We've been married 13 years. And I'm just happy to be here to help or influence or talk to anybody else who might be on the fence about doing the program or just wants to hear more about what you have to say.
So Kyle, take us back briefly to your childhood, adolescence, young adult years. What were some of the experiences? What kind of education did you get around sex? What were the early days for you like?
Well, early, like, you know, the birds and the bees talk with dad was non-existent. My father was a great father by all rights. He was in the picture, still is today, actually doing a business with him. So I talked to him every day. But as far as the sex conversation is concerned, it just didn't happen. Wasn't the best influential character, oftentimes talk about women that weren't my mom and kind of just made it feel like an objectification towards women. And I did, unfortunately, inherit some of those terrible characteristics from him that only just now in my late 30s I'm unpacking. So.
And so did that persist into your teen years and young adulthood and your early sexual experiences?
Absolutely. So, of course, that bled right into high school and early college. From the age of 16, I lived at an ambulance station. I was a volunteer EMT firefighter. That's what I started my public service career, and I still do that stuff today. Especially in that arena, there's always the temptation. There's I married a nurse, so that should tell you something. Obviously with not having healthy sexual boundaries, that led to sexual experience at not a young age. I think I was 18. So I think that's, I don't know, acceptable. but it led to the biggest thing that I have looking back is it led to the objectification of women and really just they're there for my sexual experience. I didn't matter how many girlfriends I had at a time. I was not the person I wanted to be.
And I'm guessing you didn't know that then. Now it's sort of looking back in hindsight.
No, because I won't say culture in general, but the EMS culture, just the public service culture, unfortunately kind of fed into that a little bit. And I thought for sure I was just being a normal 18 to 20 to 22 year old young man and, you know, finding all these women that wanted to hang out with me and spend time with me and most importantly, touch me, because that's what I was all about. And like I said, only now are you starting to see that you're like, oh, man, that makes me feel like crap, because it kind of made things later in life. It made things tougher because it just all comes around full circle at some point.
So I didn't know about this culture. That's interesting. What can you give us a little insider look? And what do you think that it's around? Is it because men in uniform are seen as a bit more attractive, a little bit more like, oh, they'll protect me and all of that stuff? The the calendars. That's what I'm thinking about right now.
I don't want to pat myself on the back or anything. No, just I genuinely think as I've been in well, I've been in law enforcement now for 16 years, but before that, in the EMS and fire service since I was 16. So over 20 years now, I've been doing all that, and just I genuinely think it's more of a trauma bonding than anything. Just the things that we're experiencing, and I think it is just a way that we in that. And I made the comment earlier about nurses. It's a thing. Cops, nurses, cops, and teachers for some reason. I don't know. But we just relate because of crazy schedules, the trauma bonding things. It's someone to talk to, and that someone that kind of relates. I mean, could you imagine if I came home as a law enforcement officer and I talked to my spouse who just, I don't know, for whatever reason, doesn't do something that she sees the bad in people all the time? Yeah, it just doesn't work. So, obviously, alcohol leads to bad inhibitions, and so does trauma. I think it has a lot to do with it. So we treat ourselves poorly because of what we're exposed to. That's not an excuse. It's just an observation. But I generally think that's most, and just the culture itself. We are very loose-minded, free people. Like we all enjoy a good joke at the expense of everything. So.
Right, probably another way to cope with what you're dealing with.
Sure.
I want to deviate a little bit from the topic because I'm just so fascinated about this. So we'll try to keep it brief. But as I'm learning about men and the male culture, and I feel like these it is sort of more men in these fields, would you say?
Yes, actually, law enforcement is really becoming a field for women. I'm not unhappy about it either. I've worked with some very great females in law enforcement. Yes, if it's a fair assessment to say it's predominantly a male, yes.
And maybe if not the gender male, but it's sort of a masculine work environment.
That is a very, very fair assessment.
Yeah. And just thinking about what men are expected to do and not do. So expected to be heroes and providers and protectors, and then also not allowed to talk about feelings and emotions and debrief and need therapists and that. So of course there would be coping strategies involved in that. And sex probably is a pretty great alternative
Absolutely. I chose alcohol for a while too. That wasn't a great decision either, so I got away from that as well. But
Right. Do you see this industry shifting at all? Do you see more support, more sort of support for PTSD and that sort of thing?
yes and no. I think that's going to be agency specific, state specific, what programs have funding. The mental health crisis in America is out of control. It is absolutely a terrible thing. If anyone can't look around and agree with that, there's problems with their vision because we just don't have treatment options. We don't have paid care centers. I don't know what your health plan is like up in Canada. I have no clue, but it's horrible. And we send people to the hospital that want to harm themselves, and within 48 hours they're out. So anyway, we're way off topic there, but I'm passionate about that. I love helping people when in mental health crisis, and I had to help myself. Well, it was 2 years ago. I was on a ventilator for 30 days with COVID, ECMO for 19 days. If you've never heard of that, they run your blood outside your body through a machine. Real fancy stuff. Only I think 33% of people survive that procedure. So very blessed to be here. But after that, when I woke up from that, they were giving me some kind of crazy medication. My wife was sitting there, and I was talking out of my mind, and I broke down crying. I had some therapy to do. I was adamantly ready for it. I said, listen, I don't care if my job doesn't take me back. I need to make sure that the things that I'm experiencing right now go away so I can be healthy in my future. So I went to see a trauma therapist, and while I was in physical therapy, getting back all the muscle I lost in 46 days in a hospital bed. I was also doing therapy on my mind, and I actually got released pretty early from that because I guess I coped pretty well. My therapist was very confident in the fact that I was not no I was okay, and I was able to be cleared medically for work. I fully expected to go back to my job because I had sought mental health help and be put on a desk or to have some sort of evaluation from their mental health doctor, but It didn't happen. They were like, "Hey, we're glad you're doing great. Here's your gun and your badge. Go back to work." And that was everything to me because I love my job. So,
Yeah.
but I don't think I don't think that as a culture or as a profession that we're losing that edge. I think we're gaining ground there, and I think the stigma is going away. I'm on several law enforcement pages where we're very supportive. Hey man, go get help. You know, if you're talking about hurting yourself or if you're talking about this, you need to go talk to somebody. You know, and administration is really starting to get on board with that. Of course, as the older guys retire, then the new administrations that are a little bit more my age are starting to say, "Yeah, we worked in this environment. We know that it's not a macho guy's turf anymore. It's time to break down the walls and start talking about stuff." So yes, it's really getting much better, I think.
Did that openness for you help you be able to seek help for your sex life with your wife, or was that a bit of a struggle for you?
I've always been really open with my wife. It's just from a very early start in our relationship, I was able to tell my wife, "Hey, I think I have a sexual addiction. I'm pretty sure that years and years of just objectifying women has led me to just feel like that's the only reason you're here, and I don't want you to think that." Your program's really the first thing that we did to kind of proactively go after what we were concerned about with our relationship. Was more or less just a self-evaluation, reflection, and correction. But I genuinely think that I don't know. I was very open. I was always very open about it. And I just think that, you know, I made a couple mistakes during our relationship, my wife and I's relationship, in my marriage. She's a very forgiving woman. I was very honest about those mistakes. And then from there, yeah, I mean, it was easy to be open with her if she's going to be like, "Listen, I know you're human. You came into this relationship with this baggage. It's not my favorite moment in our relationship, but we're going to be okay." And we are. I mean, we are far better than we were when I was doing that dumb stuff I was doing to try to get her to leave me years and years ago. So, and that's another thing with the commitment and attachment issues that we have. Just in my line of work, I don't want to keep focusing on that because it's not my entire life, but it is a good bit of it. We tend to push people away. We don't want that emotional attachment. We don't want the commitment because they're going to leave, right? Everybody leaves. So we just I don't know. We don't we're loners. We're by ourselves people. So to find somebody that wants to attach to you're like, why are you doing this to me? You know, and she's. She stuck it out, man. I'm telling you what, she's a good one for sure. 15 years of me. And it's not just work. It's not just my addictions of many kinds that I bring with me. It's the crazy ideas I have. Like we own a business together. She was no part of it. I love her, but she was no part of what we do up here. I'm sitting in my warehouse as I talk to you. And just to watch her kind of move and shuffle with the ideas I have, and this one really beneficial to our family. It's turned out very well. She's very, very forgiving, and I'm very blessed to have her.
Yeah, that's really great because I know quite a few men, because of such stigma around emotions and feeling like failures and all of those, misconceptions around what low desire and struggling with your sex life may mean, it's hard for a lot of men to kind of take that step forward. So it's really cool that you were open to that. We had been talking earlier about you learning about safety, and I know that's a topic that comes up a lot for men. Can you walk us through what that was like for you when you first started WIM?
Sure. So I had this crazy lady that was telling me that my wife wasn't safe. And she turned out to be the most knowledgeable person I've ever met in this topic. But at the insight, she said, "I don't think your wife feels very safe." And I said, "What are you talking about, Jana? I think that my wife is the most safe she's ever been. You don't know how many guns I own. I mean, I'm a protector. I'm very capable. I've never put a hand on my wife. I would never even speak. We don't even yell." So for me, it's like, "What do you mean she's not safe?" And then to break down that word, as you did so eloquently for, what was it, 9 or 10 weeks that we listened to you just tell us over and over again, some of the guys just still not getting it. It's not your fault. You know, she's not safe because culture tells you that she's there to serve you. And just breaking that whole statement down and making it so it doesn't defame you. And you just have to sit there and say, she's not targeting me. She's not accusing me. She's telling me what my wife wants to. And my wife can't because I think she's nuts when she says, there's just something that makes me not want to have sex with you. And there's something that makes me not want to be intimate with you. And that something is the expectation, the societal norm, the human pleasure center, the what was it called? Ugh, good grief. Yeah, anyway, that thing that you talk about, I'm sure you're gonna correct me. Anyway, she is a people pleaser, so she wanted to make sure that I was taken care of. And I often so much got tired of our relationship, and you can ask her this, she'll tell you, where our intimate time or our sexual time was obligation. I would say 99% of it was. Hey, it's been a couple of weeks. I know he's going to start getting mad if I just shrug him off another night, or he's going to start making statements to me that hurt me and that are and I didn't realize how hurtful the statements were. But when you and I don't want to give too much of the program away because there should be some surprises for
No,
people.
you
But
can give away it all, Kyle. You can give it away it all.
when you take sex completely off the table, when you look at your spouse and say, listen, I don't even want to cons I don't want you to consider or me to consider us intimately connected or having sexual contact for a period of time, then it's relieving. It is relieving for both parties. And I think it was I don't want to mention another fella in the group, but we'll call him Knicker fella. I think he had mentioned how his wife had said she doesn't want to go back from the reset. And I chimed in very eloquently, or not eloquently, very, very immediately. And I said, that is because she's where she wants to be. And there's a way to keep her there and still be intimate. And I think he got it then. And he's become a really good friend. I wish I could talk to him more. I'm in a group with him now, but I don't have a lot of time. But I think that was kind of the point I was trying to hammer home with that is they just want to be safe. They just want to know that they are free to do what they want. And I think I said very early in the program in the men's side, I've been driving the bus for 15 years and it's not working. So let her drive for a while. I mean, what's she gonna do? Wreck it even worse? It's already not great. So why not see where this goes? And I think that open-mindedness, coupled with the ability to self-reflect and self-evaluate, is the key to success with this program. And I think I wish everybody possessed it. I'm not patting myself on the back for saying I do, but there should be an element that every guy comes into this and says, okay, I've tried everything to get my wife to touch me in the nether region. I need to listen to this woman, see what she has to say. And then I didn't take everything you said. I didn't, I mean, we, Laura and I, we said, some of those things aren't for us. So we didn't take those tidbits. It still worked. It's still doing just great. And we are very early in the process, but things are going exponentially well, much better than they were. It's not even just from a sexual front though, Jana. It's like, I can't even say that we're just not nitpicking each other. We're communicating openly. Every time I feel like there's a little bit of something I've done, I'm like, okay, let's talk about it because we're not going to do this eating our feelings all day thing. And we do. And genuinely speaking, it's gotten 100% better. I've 10% better, 1,000. That's 1,000. Good Lord, I'm tired.
When you think about having a self identity around being a protector, Kyle, you're like the epitome of that. You know, that is what you do for work. Day in and day out, you keep people safe. You keep people around, you know, you keep the community safe and you keep individuals safe. That is your purpose, your mission. And so if there's anyone who would have been super offended by me coming in and saying your wife isn't feeling safe with you, it would be you.
Yep,
So
absolutely. Yeah. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
if you could speak to another man right now and say, hey, when you're hearing safe on the podcast, what Jana isn't saying is this. She's not saying this. What would you say to them?
It has nothing to do with physical safety and everything to do with emotional safety. She doesn't feel that you're going to put your arms around her and hold her tight and wipe away her tears and shed and get the robber away from you in the mall. She doesn't feel she can tell you everything. And when you get to the point where you can tell your spouse everything, that is the intimate connection you're missing from what you're looking for.
Tell you everything and there be no repercussions, no negative consequences of that.
That is huge. That is very huge. Yes, thank you for adding that, because the biggest part of my wife's safety was she would be able to tell me, she wouldn't be able to tell me things, limited things from her previous sex life, and I would get jealous, and they were all before me. Like, to my knowledge, my wife's never even looked at another man while we're together. She's a saint. But early in our relationship, I got very jealous about that. And it was really just something that shouldn't have even involved me at all. It didn't matter to me. It wasn't towards me. She didn't do it to me. I've done it to her since we've been married. So for me, it was ignorant. It was wrong. And it made her feel like, well, if he's going to get mad about that, I can't ever tell him, oh my goodness, what if I find somebody attractive? Or what if somebody hits on me in the mall and I just want to talk to my husband about it because it made me feel good, but I don't want to act on it. We should be having feelings of jealousy, I guess, but you shouldn't be so afraid of your spouse to talk to them about things that made you feel good or things that made you think about something that you want to talk to your spouse about. We've had several very open conversations about things since we did WIM and in the middle of WIM. I never thought my wife would ever confide in me about. Just things that I would 2 years ago or a year ago, I would have had this reaction that was so unsafe for her and so just taken aback. I can't believe you'd say that. Like, just putting her on this pedestal, like she's not supposed to have intimate feelings or lustful feelings. Like, we all do. We are programmed that way. Quite literally, she met me because of a lustful feeling, right? I firmly believe that God programs us that way. So it was kind of wrong for me to say, okay, you're supposed to touch that, turn that off the minute you meet me. I'm the only one in the world that exists, and you're supposed to look at me and me alone. How naive is that, right? So for me, it was more of a getting over myself. I'm not the be-all and all of this world. I'm certainly not the best-looking man. I'm probably not the best at certain things that she's had done to her in an intimate setting. I can work on that. But what I can't work on is making her desire those things without making sure she knows that she can express herself openly in my bedroom.
So good. How did you get from feeling like this is wrong, like this is weird, my wife is safe, to where you are now, which is quite open about this, quite willing to learn, quite willing to continue helping your wife, you know, be safer and safer? What was the process for you? What did you have to tell yourself, reassure yourself? Maybe what was said to you from me or from the other men in the group? Yeah.
I think my most important thing that I tried to focus towards was how I wanted my kids to see me love my wife. And as we were getting older, they would see us argue about, you know, well, you don't do this. I'm very, very open with our kids. They're getting a little older, 12 and 10 now. So they would see us arguing about intimacy sometimes, which is not a thing that your kids should ever hear you argue about. But like I said, we're a different family. But I also focused, I just did some self-evaluation and I talked to some of the guys in the group, even on some of our calls that we're doing currently for you. It's the ability to evaluate what's more important in your life, whether my wife is ever going to give me A again, or whether I just love my wife and I want her to be happy. But how are we doing a comparison side by side to that? Because you should, if you married your wife and you stood in front of God and your friends and you said, this is my wife, I will make her pleased. It's quite biblical that you're supposed to look at her and say, what are your desires? That's what I want for you. Mm-hmm. And some of the guys, I love them all, the guys in our group, but some of them are like, well, what about me? But this ain't about you at all. It's been about you for as long as you've been together. And they're like, well, don't I get this anymore ever again? No. And who cares? I said there was I don't want to be too public, but there was an act that my wife will probably never do to me again. I love my wife. If that's something that she is safe, that makes her feel safe, okay. That's the way it is. Because I'm gonna die one day and I'm gonna leave this earth and I'm gonna go hopefully to heaven, praying for it. And that's not gonna matter anymore. And it doesn't matter now because it's just a sexual act that yes, I prefer, but my wife doesn't. And if one person doesn't prefer it, it's not consensual. I learned something.
Yeah. You're beaming, Kyle. You're beaming. He's in his car and the sun is shining on his face and he's glowing and he's radiant and he's a transformed man. That's what's
That's
happening.
right. That's right. We're working on it anyway. I think it's going to be a rest of your life transformation, but we have to start with day one. And if day one is talking to you on the phone and saying, why should I take your course? And I think Laura did that. She talked to you and said, why should we take your course? What's different than the podcast? And I'm here to actually, I'm not plugging your course. But after she got off the phone, she's like, oh yeah, we need to do it. It's like, okay, well, what is different? Because we both listen to your podcast and they're great. The content is excellent. And she was like, just trust me, we need to do it. So I'm like, sure. So, and I couldn't be happier. Could not be happier with not only the course content, just the community of people you get to meet that are kind of like in the same boat. Because you can imagine in the culture I work in, and the culture I've developed my friend circle in, going to my friends and saying, man, my wife's not touching me because she doesn't feel safe. And can you imagine? You know, because they all, you go to work and you're like, oh, man, my wife just not touching me. And then my buddy's like, oh man, you got to find that nurse at the hospital. I think she liked you. And that's the culture they do, right? And that's what I live in. That's what I immerse myself in on a daily
Wow.
basis. So to be able to come home and just take that off or not even do it at work anymore, just kind of change your outlook and say, I can't talk to those people about this because they don't understand. The reason they don't understand is because they're very poor at self-reflection, self-evaluation, and they're very poor at saying or treating their spouse the way that they would want to be treated. And so when I go to work and guys ask me, you know, how my day's going, I would talk to them, but at the minute it starts going towards that, you know, that cultural man speak about, oh, my wife did this, I say, you know what? I just don't have to talk about that. And we avoid the conversation because culturally, I don't want to be involved in that kind of conversation anymore. It goes down a wrong path. It causes a lot of problems. Not healthy.
No. Just 'cause I'm curious, why now looking back was doing the program necessary rather than just listening to the podcast?
Just the overall breakdown of the steps, they don't really you don't really have the almost one-on-one help and support and just the like I said the community of people that are just there with you. I know that helped Laura a lot more than it helped me. I love the guys we were with, but we were a quiet bunch. We did what men do. We didn't share much just because we're men and we don't share things. We don't get help for our problems and. But it certainly did help us in that aspect. And just to have, I can't point one thing out. I mean, that really occurred during the program, short of just the reset. And expectations is a word that is thrown around my house every single day now. Because there's different levels of expectations, right? There's not just, do you have a sexual expectation of this? It's just a, do you have an expectation that I'm wearing this because you have a sexual expectation? So we actually went like, three or four circles out from the sexual expectations. And the farther you go out with that, the healthier your conversations are. And the better they, you know, I'm not looking at her in a pair of underwear that I like anymore and saying, she's wearing those for me. I'm looking at those and saying, she's wearing those because people wear underwear. And I, if they end up
Love it.
coming off later, it's because she wanted to. And I don't know. The one to point to one thing from your program that was so beneficial for us would be unfair because the whole thing was. It's just it's an all-encompassing, interactive, self-evaluation guide that really you drive, and Jana is just there as the guidance counselor, so to speak. You are the I won't call you a referee because it doesn't cause many fights, at least not in my family. But you are the one that just kind of you navigate the ship, and we do the work. So, yeah, just super beneficial in so many ways.
I just have to say that again. Oh, she's wearing underwear because people wear underwear. I just love it. So good.
It's not for me. Like she has
Yeah.
a couple pair that I'm like, I really like those. And I mean, if a pair is see-through, what does a man think, right? You're wearing a see-through pair of underwear, you're not wearing it because you're comfortable in those. It's certainly not because of that. It's because I can see your butt.
Right.
And that's not it at all. I don't think she's ever worn a pair of underwear because she wanted me to enjoy them. I don't think that's ever happened.
My wife is naked because she came out of the shower.
Right.
People don't wear
That's
clothes in the
exactly.
shower.
That's exactly right. It's the same kind of logic. You're like, oh, she walked up to me naked. Well, I'm standing between her and the weird place she gets dressed in the morning. Yep, it had nothing to do with me.
So good. Oh man, so good. You talked a little bit earlier before we hit record around the safety piece, and a big part of that was recognizing that it wasn't your fault, and kind of looking back over your relationship and reflecting that, oh yeah, I have done things that have made my wife feel unsafe, and that's easy to dip into a lot of shame. So how did you deal with that?
Well, like I said, I think the hardest part of WIM for me was the first couple weeks, and you don't know the community of men yet that you're with, so you don't know how much to confide in them, and then you can't go to work in any environment, let alone mine, and say, I'm doing this program where they said that I wasn't being safe with my wife, because then my boss sends me to some therapist, and I have to like do an investigation on whether I'm not being safe with my wife, because safety is such a literal term, right? It has nothing to do with emotion at all. And then you kind of look at your, so you're kind of in this box by yourself, more so than usual. Like men are usually by themselves in a box, right? But now more so than usual, I have something I can't really discuss with anyone. And that's a lonely and alienating feeling where you're just like, I can't really talk to anybody about this because I've been unsafe. The woman that I've done it to is the person that I want to start to feel safe. So I can't go home and complain to her that I feel bad about being unsafe, because it's not her job to absorb this right now. It's her job to start finding safety. It's my job to protect her from these feelings that I'm having of guilt and shame, and just overall just crappy. Like, I did that, and I know I did that, and it's so bad. And I think you have to realize you did it first. And so my main word for this call is going to be accountability. I mean, if you can't relook at yourself and be accountable as a man for the actions you've taken to harm your wife, here I am saying the bad words again, right? Harm, safety. At first hear, they cut deep, right? At when you first hear those words, they really hit you. But to dissect them and take the painful jab of the knife out of it and just say, there's a reason that I was this way. I was raised this way. I was genetically built this way. If you buy into the genetic path that I certainly believe in, I was taught this way from an early age. I live in this culture, and not even a public service culture in my, but to look around. When you suggested the social media cleanse, and I can't completely get off of Facebook because my business literally it is on Facebook. But the minute I stopped doing like Instagram and even stopped looking at pornography, which wasn't a frequent thing for me, but just ceasing that altogether, you realize how much more you're able to reflect on the fact that I'm not talking about sex as much. Sex isn't on the forefront of my mind as much. It doesn't mean I don't want it. I still really want it when I look at my wife. I still really want it when my wife's not around. I'm a man. But at the end of the day, it's not at the front of your mind. And then you stop injecting those inappropriate thoughts, comments into situations that they don't belong. Obviously, there's a time and a place for them. The bed, when your wife says she's ready for that kind of thing. But to as you said earlier, when she gets out of the shower, I'm just in the way. So that's not the time and the place for them, right? So that's really where the safety started developing, when I was able to self-reflect and self-evaluate and say, okay, I'm not a bad person. I have a heart of full of love for my wife. My mindset is that I am going to be married to my wife the rest of my days, and that whatever I need to do to get us through this program, And to make sure it's not hard to get through the program, but what I need to do to improve while we're in the program and to make sure she is safe, that's what I'm on board for because that's what I signed up for when I said I do. Anyone, just any man that has anything short of that thought process when they think about how they can help their wife, you got married. You at one point promised this woman that you would do everything in your power to make her feel safe. Do it. That's what you're doing now. It's just safety looks a little different than what you had in mind.
So it sounds like you were really able to tap into a lot of compassion for yourself eventually.
Eventually, yes. But again, without having somebody to really lean on, the first couple weeks, it was a mental struggle. Thankfully, I consider myself a mentally strong person. But just to not have anybody really to talk to about it, I have a friend I can pick up and the phone and call and talk to about anything. But the minute I say, I pick up my buddy and be like, "Hey, I found out my wife doesn't want to sleep with me or have sex with me because I'm not safe to her." And my buddy would be like, "What are you talking about? Like you're like the best husband ever, or you've never put your hands on Laura." They all think of it from that sense. So, it's just one of those things where you have to work through it on your own. And I think once you start to give yourself some compassion and say it's not my fault. We live in a broken world, first of all, and in a broken cultural system where we glorify sex. It's in every music video. It's in every YouTube. I mean, I sell things on eBay. There's a guy that literally sells things positioned next to his wife's breast. He does very well, by the way. But like, why? Like, I take pictures of my things on tables. So I just don't understand that. But that's the culture we live in, where it's culturally acceptable to glorify the image of a woman or a man. So,
So he's selling something not related to sex, and he takes a photo of it next to his wife's breasts.
this man does very well. Yes, yeah, very well. I give a shout out to him, but I don't know if I want to advertise his eBay channel on your
Yeah,
anti.
I think we don't want to encourage this sort
Yeah,
of cultural
but
phenomena.
that's to prove my point. Even something so innocent as me having a business, an online business, which is only one facet of my resale business, is even in doing that, you can't completely cleanse yourself of the culture you're trying to run away from because it's there. It's everywhere. You can't, I mean, walk into Walmart without seeing a crop top shirt anymore. My daughter wants one at the age of 10, and I'm going to scream and then probably shoot her. I'm not going to shoot her. I'm just kidding. But you get the point. Like, how do you be a father in this cultural world? And I think that helps too. Really, is just being a dad. And knowing what my daughter is getting ready to come into. And the ultimate question is, would I want my daughter to meet someone like me?
Wow.
And if I can't answer that question with yes, which I haven't always been able to, then I need to do better. And I can. And that's where it starts for me. It has almost everything to do with my wife, but she's definitely a factor in my day-to-day decisions from now on. So.
Yeah, that's powerful. Kyle, it has been an absolute joy, pleasure, delight to spend this time with you. Before we say goodbye, was there anything that we haven't covered that you wanted to get to?
No, I think I could talk to you all day. I just enjoy it. I've had a blast with you. I am genuinely gonna miss when I don't get to have conversation with you anymore. I know we're still doing some conference calls and stuff, but it's really been because especially because I firmly believe, even though you're very good at leaving this middle of the road, you don't bring politics and things into it. I firmly believe that you and I, if we were to be in the cultural world, would be very separate, right? But it's amazing when you take all the hate and stuff that the world has and you put two people together and just have one common goal, and that's to be intimate with your partner. Look how close we could be, right? So I just think that's a really cool thing that I've never experienced before. So I want to thank you for that. It does give me faith that there's still humanity even without politics and religion and everything else that causes anger in the world, that the two people can be essentially friends, and mentors, coaches, whatever you want to call us. So, I think that was neat. And I really, really appreciate, the platform that you have. I appreciate your ability to take all the noise from the world out and just focus on this topic. And anytime it kind of went one direction, you brought it right back to center and say, no, that's not why we're here. So I really appreciated that. But other than that, if anybody is just so on the sense about that, and they're listening to this, and they're like, "How do I really want to just subscribe to this woman? Is she just another one of these people on the internet selling me snake oil? I don't buy snake oil. I it takes a lot to convince me of something. Well, unless my wife convinces me of it, and then I'll do it right away. But when your wife comes to you and as a man and says, "I think we should take this course. I want to figure out if it's just me that's broken, or if it's the world that's broken. And if I can do anything to help my wife make sure that she's okay, because she is, I'm going to do that." And that includes working a lot of overtime, which is why I was at work every time you called me, or every time we had a meeting, because I want to make sure that she's comfortable and safe. And it turned out to be the one thing that in her life, in her almost, or a little over 40 years, has reassured her, this isn't you. Because it's not. It's quite literally, it's the culture and everything we're surrounded by, that makes you feel like you should be doing more. And I think once she realized that, and once we realized that together, I would like to think that I developed quite, or we developed quite the safe place in our house. And my wife has expressed to me several times since we did whim how nice it is just to be able to lie in bed with no expectation, and just to have our scheduled time together with no expectation. And that we're still working on, because when you have that once a week, that time together, it's hard not to have an expectation for that, especially when last time went great. So I'm doing better with that. But I this is a lifelong journey, and I'm glad to have been with you for a long part of it, and I think we'll continue to cross paths, or at least I'll continue to listen to your
Thank you so much, Kyle. That means a lot to me, what you shared at the end about feeling united, even though we may not have some similar beliefs. And that's that's such a huge value of mine. So thank you for seeing that. It's probably one of the first times I've ever had anybody reflect that back to me. So I really appreciate that.
I just didn't want to focus entirely on the course, and I wanted to go outside the box and say, I think she needs to know that it was just comforting to be here, and I didn't have to worry about my political affiliation or what I believe. And of course, I'm sure you have your beliefs, and I have mine. And to this day, I don't actually know yours, which is great. I'm sure you know mine, because it was your job to listen to us and kind of reflect on that. But it wasn't why we're here. And you were like, listen, I don't need, I'm not here to push my beliefs on anyone. I'm here because I want them to be better. I want their marriages to be better. That was the only reason you were here. It was, you never tried to sell me on anything else. I'm still a Republican. But at the
I don't
end
know
of the
what that
day,
means. I'm Canadian. I don't know what that means.
I know you guys don't have those parties and stuff, but
We're like Switzerland over here. We're sort of neutral.
And that's great. You know what? Sometimes I wish we could have that, and then there's days where I hear things and I'm like, maybe not. But I just and from it's just nice to have the noise canceled, and to be able to come to this space and to just talk to a person who, like I said, you and I probably otherwise would fight like cats and dogs about any other topic in the world. But when it comes to the safety of my wife, you and I had the same interest, and that is for her to find it, and to be confident, and to have her power. And that's what I want for her. So
That's right. That's so good. Oh, we're ending on a high one. Thank you so much, Kyle. Thank you all for listening right to the end, and I will talk to you in the next one. Bye for now.
if you've enjoyed this episode, I have a favor to ask of you. It's really hard to get the word out about a podcast about sex. What would really, really help is if you would leave a rating and a review. And I know that you get asked this all the time in different podcasts, but please, I beg you, it would really, really help so that more women who need this message will hear it. All you have to do is go into your Apple Podcast app. It's the purple icon. And if you go to the podcast page where it shows my face, and has a little button that says latest episodes. If you scroll down past the episodes and you get to a section called ratings and reviews, there's a little purple writing thing. It says write a review. If you click on that, it will ask you to give it a 5 stars. Actually, you can put any stars, but 5 is what I would love. And put a title and then write your review. Thank you so much for supporting this little venture here. And I really am so grateful. If you are curious about wanting it more and how this program could help you want and enjoy sex more with your husband, and you feel like it may be a great next step for you, you can go to janetdentonhouse.com/wantingitmore to sign up for the wait list, to learn more, to see when we're running our next round. All right, that's it. I'll see you next one.